Hey, today's episode is on medication non-adherence, medication adherence, the technology that delivers the best setting for an efficient operations in the world of community retail pharmacy or even privately owned long-term care pharmacy. Medication non-adherence leads to 125,000 preventable deaths per year and about $300 billion in avoidable healthcare costs. Most people don't realize it, but if you think about this, dying from your own medication non-adherence, that's about 10 times greater than dying of homicide, or about 30 times greater for somebody who's over the age of 50. And it's kind of shocking because it's 2019. We have things like Alexa and reminders and mobile applications. So what's keeping us from being at a minimal number of deaths per year? We're going to get into that and a little more on today's Pharmacy Podcast Nation.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
The business of pharmacy would do better to understand that success is about delivering better health to our patients. For this reason, all pharmacy organizations should develop a persistent spirit of servant leadership and leverage intelligent technology to maximize better outcomes. This is the RX Safe podcast series, brought to you by the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RX Safe has unwavering core values, which guide everything they do every day. They believe in the importance of people above all other aspects of business and aspire to ensure their customers are 100% satisfied. This podcast series is about challenging conventional wisdom, upending the status quo, and developing technology that will define the future of the pharmacy industry. This is the RX Safe podcast series. Learn more at rxsafe.com/podcasts.
Hello, this is Matthew Massey at Massey Drugs, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. I have a special guest. And before I introduce this guest, we're talking about non-adherence. We're talking about preventable deaths. We know there's an opioid epidemic out there. We know there are suicide issues, mental health issues. There's some block and tackle, though, on the side of leveraging technology and the right processes in an operation that really wants to grow and thrive and be a little bit more consultative. Clinical, hands-on your patients. And what's exciting is when I get to talk to a pharmacy owner who is in a community. This gentleman has three operations, one in Florence, Cloverdale, Florence Northwood, and Tuscumbia, Alabama. Mr. Matthew Massey, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So I'm excited. You have three operations. I want you to give the listeners a little bit about yourself, background in Massey Drugs, and just tell us a little bit about yourself. Why do you love pharmacy the way as much as I do?
Well, you know, as growing up as a high school kid, I always wanted to own my own business, and I looked at a lot of things, and I kind of always came back to pharmacy. I know you get to help people, and that was important to me, and at the time being, I just really liked the way the market was set up and chose to go to pharmacy school, and I've loved it ever since. Went to pharmacy school, still had a strong heart for community pharmacy. On the way out, I found a gentleman who owned a bunch of stores and kind of wanted to get rid of one, and me and him kind of struck a deal, and 2 years after graduation, I bought one of his stores. Did that back in 2005, and just kind of did one store for a while and did well, and just kind of did the lick and stick and did that stuff, but really started looking for other options and things to do. We built our second store from scratch and opened it up, and our community was kind of low on independent pharmacies. And then we kind of bought our third one on a guy retiring, just kind of picked it up. But you know, as time has gone, we've kind of grown, and we try to get more clinical. We try to look for niches and things that we think can help patients. And for us, we think, you know, we do a lot of sync at our stores, and the next step we think is the packaging.
So there's about 145 million chronic disease sufferers in America right now. How many of those would you estimate are your patients? How many patients do you think you serve in that class?
So of our store or just in that class of people, I guess?
I'd say out of all three of your stores total, how many lives do you think you're caring for?
We're probably caring for about 2,000 lives.
That's just amazing because you're one of 25,000 plus independently owned community pharmacies out there, which brings me to a point before we get into medication non-adherence, the importance of the community pharmacy in many rural communities. It's really the only healthcare service provider in that community. So we're excited about PBM reform and things coming. That'll be a different subject, but that's why I like to talk to people like you, Matthew. You're the ones that are seeing things happen ground level. And guess what? It's different from region to region. I travel all over the country in 22 different states, concentrating on the opioid epidemic, dealing with better service providers, better partners, and getting pharmacists involved. And I see how independent pharmacy really impacts a community.
We think so. We think it's a positive aspect. We try to raise the bar above one bar above everybody else. You know, do the things that Walgreens and the CVS's just don't want to do. So that's what we try to fill those gaps. So for sure.
So let's get into this $300 billion avoidable cost to our U.S. healthcare system annually. More importantly, the 125,000 premature deaths that are associated with non-adherence from studies from the CDC and state organizations, as well as Medicaid having data involved in this. About two-thirds of Americans with chronic conditions and prescriptions ongoing are non-adherent. So before we get into the technology side, Matthew, tell me, as someone who is there in the trenches, why is this such a big issue?
You know, I didn't even notice it was an issue, to be honest with you, until we started doing Sync. And that's been about 3 years ago. We knew it was important that people kind of get their medicines lined up so they make one trip a month and make it convenient for them, you know? And as we did that, we'd be amazed at how many people would be like, hey, I don't need my metformin this month because I got extra. And we're 100% icon at our stores, so I know we weren't miscounting. I'm like, why do you have extra? Are you missing doses? Oh, no, I'm not missing doses. You had to give me extra or something. I'm taking my medicine right. And the more and more we heard that, we just kind of found out, hey, these patients, if it's twice a day or three times a day, they're just not taking it right. Not because they don't want to, it's just they forget. And we saw that as important. And then I ran to another independent pharmacist who's in a more rural area than I am. And he was doing this compliant packaging. And he said, hey, listen, if I have a Sync patient that I think is struggling, they're a classic candidate for this. And this is where we put them. So that's kind of, I noticed that about a year and a half ago. And we've been moving toward that ever since. And so I think, you know, probably people over 50, 80% need the packaging and 20% do it, but we're trying to service that 20% for sure.
This is so important because I see a ripple effect, and I think in dominoes where one domino hits the next and so on. Hypertensive patients, they say 89,000 deaths could be avoided each year with the appropriate medication regime and treatments being followed as intended. A national pharmacy provider, a chain, has data that said that 50% of the people with a prescription for a chronic condition like cardiovascular disease, this one gets me more than any of them, they stop taking it within the first year. So you get your body used to this new therapy, starts to absorb correctly, because you might be a different absorber of medication than others. You kind of start getting your checkups, you're getting things stabilized. You did all that work, all that money, and you just stop taking it after the first year. Like, Matthew, it blows my mind.
Well, I tell you, that's one of our target groups. We have two target groups that we target, and one of them is what we call post-heart attack people. So if you've had most people prior to a heart attack are on one or two meds, and that's all they're on. You know, they've been on it for a long time, and they have this event in their life, and they go from maybe zero to one and two, to now they're on six or seven at a minimum, and it's really important they take them. And that's where I just think the compliance packaging really helps, is we can put them in that system and really focus on them and care for them and make sure they take those meds right and know why it's important. So we can spend the extra time calling them each month, following up and saying, hey, are you having side effects? Or, you know, are you having financial issues with this drug? Whatever the problem is, we just want to make sure that these patients who need it, especially these heart patients, that, you know, they get their medicine. And that's one of our main focuses, is that group of people.
So, you know, we're moving out of this transactional environment, process oriented. Not that that's not important. It'll always be part of pharmacy. But we are moving into another age of pharmacy where the pharmacist is going to be more consultative, more hands-on with the patients, and more interactive with the physician. By the way, I think it's going to save money. I think we're going to have pharmacists in physicians' offices as a specialist, and we're going to be able to drive down costs. Okay, but the technology that you have to invest in as a pharmacy owner, what a pain in the butt when you have to inject new technology into the disruption of your existing processes, where your team, you know, they might not be doing the most efficient things, but everybody's used to it. Even if you drop technology into the lab, it's a disruption, but you got through that. There's a story to be told here of what you did to leverage technology to help adherence, help the issues, and then give you the time, because without the pharmacy counseling ongoing, your patient, even ones with the best of technology, if there isn't a personal touch and personal follow-up there, to continue to embrace those patients, to allow them to understand the importance of, hey, we know you've taken this now for a year and a half. You're doing well. Your cholesterol's down. You're healthier. You're 20 pounds lighter. Don't go back now. Don't go back now. There's no reason to slip back into bad health. That's the voice of a pharmacist, Matthew. That's what I'm passionate about supporting. So what technology, like, tell us that technology story from where you were to where you are today and how big of an impact that's made to your business, but also the lives of your patients.
Okay. So as I said, about a year and a half ago, we went and watched this guy's store. And we were like, we saw, and the first move we made where we switched software, we thought our software was good, and it still is. Our old software was still good, but we wanted something that's a little more clinically driven. And we just felt like that Pioneer was the best option from a clinical standpoint. They had a lot of stuff built in, and we're still only kind of just touching the tip of the iceberg with them. But we think from a clinical standpoint and helping your patients, it was the right move for us.
I hear excellent things about Pioneer. So yeah. To hear that about Pioneer is like, it's par for the course, because we're hearing that they're able to go into multi settings, like one community, one long-term care, even some compounding and specialty. So, but sure. Carry on. I want to hear how you went from the investment of a new system, which, by the way, in my opinion, someone who used to sell systems for 12 years to long-term care and community environments, I understood the design of a new workflow. So right. To take that station first, that was the right choice.
So we picked that as our first choice. And then the second thing we looked at was the automation and packaging. So originally we were doing it manually, and we kept hitting a roadblock of about 70, you know, we get to 75 patients, and that's about all we could do. We might get 100, but, you know, depending on how things would go, we just knew we had a problem scaling it. So at that point in time, we started looking at automation. We looked at all the big players in the market. And for us, we chose the RxSafe product, and we chose it because of its footprint. It's smaller than a refrigerator, so it's easy to stick somewhere. And all of our stores were kind of built before this is even a dream of mine. So we was kind of having to reverse engineer and just find a place to put it. So for us, it kind of came the obvious choice. It works great. And we think if we're continuing our normal workflow, especially on our sink patients. So our packaging patients are sink patients. So they go through our normal workflow. And when it gets done, everything is already set up the first time by our pharmacist. Refill patients, it's easy enough. A technician can go in, hit the buttons, fill the canisters up, and hit go. And they can package, you know, we feel like they can package 25 to 30 patients in a day. And that's something before robotics, we just couldn't do. So
I heard about the embedded double camera system, the double check system, where it's not only flipping the tablet or the capsule, mm-hmm. but then it's taking multiple pictures, which then gets stored and they reference it. So now you're talking about thousands of pictures for sure. One capsule or that's fascinating. That's the use of data and technology.
It is. And the nice thing for us, you know, you had the tech doing it, but you know, they give you a nice 42-inch TV. And it has a picture of every sale in the pouch, and it has the pill, individual pictures of the pills going in. It makes the checking process so much easier and to be honest with you, a lot safer. You know, when we was doing it manually, you had to go in and check, and it was a very time consuming and stressful thing for our pharmacists. And they've really enjoyed the checking mechanism on the RxSafe so that, you know, they feel more comfortable letting these strip packaging going out and knowing that the patient's getting the right medicine. In our opinion, that's a big trust to make sure that we're giving all our patients the right dose at the right time. And RxSafe is definitely helping us deliver on that.
You know how Uber disrupted the taxi industry?
Yes.
So, I mean, I love it. I live in the country of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so we don't have that much Uber-ishness down here. But when I go to Pittsburgh, I go to a conference, or I go to a major city, I'm always using it. I think what Uber did to taxis is what RxSafe has done to pharmacy automation, and here's the reason. It's almost as if they started designing from the inside out of the pharmacy, as well as what the pharmacy needed to make purchasing decisions and manage inventory and not have to follow up with techs doing it manually and not having to do balances, you know, per canister and or ongoing based on the inventory that's in the machines. And it's almost like they reversed engineered themselves and then built a product around it.
They did a really good job, I think, on this product they made. We're still new to it, but we really enjoyed it. And as I said, from a footprint, you know, if you're doing a long-term care pharmacy, that's one thing because you're kind of building it for this model, for a model of packaging. But if you're like us, an independent pharmacy, I could sit this machine in any of my stores, and because of its footprint and its flexibility, it would fit and work. And the way we have it set up is a little different than the way they originally set it up, but by running it through our normal workflow, it doesn't really mess the team up. So if you're busy, we're just cranking out our scripts as normal, and we get that dead time, they can go, that tech can ease the back and plug three or four in and run them through real quick. And for us, it was the right choice. And from an inventory standpoint, you're just using your existing inventory. So we didn't have really right. any extra inventory costs, which right. can be, if you can manage it, it's okay. But if you can't, it can be a struggle. So
this technology, employed the right way, leveraged the right way, it's going to give you the ability to now put in the human side of medication non-adherence and adherence. 1 in 2 people miss a dose. 1 in 3 forget if they even took the med. 1 in 4 did not even get a refill on time. So put the human into this. After the technology does what it's supposed to do, how is your pharmacy caring for your patients?
So for us, we enroll you first, see how you're taking your meds, and see how you're different than your doctor is. So, you know, your doctor may say take twice a day, and you're only taking it once a day. Okay. So what we do is we have a form. You fill out that form of exactly how you're taking it. And then we call your doctor and we said, your doctor, hey, we need all new orders. We know how you wrote it, but this is how your patient's taking it. And we like to have new orders that match that. And we can get good numbers. So that's the first step we do. Okay. And then we get them synced and then we get them into the box. And once they're into the box, we do the first month. And at the end of, I guess we do 28-day cycles. So everybody has the same delivery date and they know that the first Tuesday or the second Tuesday of the month is their delivery date or so on. And 1 week prior to that, we call them and say, hey, listen, how's the box? Is everything good? Do you want us to move some stuff around? Is it, you know, what you thought it would be? Has anything changed? Have you been in the hospital? So we get that extra touch. And then we call them the day of and say, or the day before, and say, hey, we're delivering your box. And we deliver 100% of our boxes. We do not leave it to the patient to pick it up. We just feel like that's a hurdle that they could have. Some patients can't drive and can't get to it. Some forget, but if you call and tell them you're coming, they'll typically make sure they're there. And for us, that's worked really good. So that's the human side is we try to make sure we have at least two touches a month. We make sure we deliver it. And I'm not saying delivery is mandatory, but for us, we think it's really important. So,
yeah, you know, having someone actually come up, knock on your door or whatever you're doing to pass that medication to somebody physically, you know, taking it from the delivery driver, there is a touch point, even though that delivery driver is not, you know, counseling them or anything, or
sure,
you're not, but that's a part of reaching out to them as this community provider of healthcare, which is very psychological. And now you back that up with, do you guys do coaching or what are you doing ongoing to ensure that the patient is doing what they're supposed to be doing?
So we definitely do the MTM stuff on all these patients.
Okay.
And we also go back and we do like what we call a medication therapy review. So it's like a little more intense form of an MTM. We don't really get paid for it, but we think it's important for the patient. So we look at all the stuff they're taking. And if we see from a clinical standpoint, they should be on something maybe as a new form of a medicine that's once a day instead of twice a day. Well, even in the packaging, if we can get someone down to a once a day pill, it's better for the patient. We try to do that. And, you know, we're seeing 4 to 5 of those situations per patient. You know, we try to do those once a year. So we track it. When we do an MTM, we just go ahead and do the MTR. And we think that, you know, provides an extra level of care. Is it a big moneymaker for us? You might make a little more money here and there, but for the most part, we think it's just important that the patient gets the best medicine they can get and that their insurance will pay for. So if we see a once-a-day product, we just think those products are typically better. And a lot of times the doctors just don't know that they're there. You know, they don't know that their insurance will pay for that and it's still cheap. So we try to educate both parties and get them on the best therapy. And that's kind of the clinical thing that we're doing. We pulled out one pharmacist by having this robotics. We've been able to pull out one pharmacist one day a week on Wednesdays. And he does all the clinical for us on all three stores. So he goes and sets up the MTMs, does his reviews, and counsels patients on the importance of what meds they need to be taking. And if they're having side effects, we look for solutions. So
that's great. That's great. What a difference this is going to make in patients' lives. But it's excited for me. It's exciting for me to hear the growth of an independently owned pharmacy. To know what the transition is being forced upon a community pharmacy owner. I mean, it's good from an innovation perspective, but it's very disheartening to me and kind of soul crushing in some ways when you have a pharmacy owner that can't make these changes, you know, can't keep up with it, and their business is forced to be sold or forced to close, and that's frustrating. So I get excited, Matthew, when I hear a pharmacy owner investing. This technology is not cheap. So, and when I say the technology, I'm not talking about the physical RX, you know, safe technology. I'm talking about the disruption to your business, the implementation, the training, the design, the marketing, everything that goes into it. It goes to show me, someone who knows this business of pharmacy, and show your patients in your community how much of an investment that you've actually made in the community.
Well, as I said, for us, the strip packaging has been a great investment, and we think it's a niche. And if the people listening, if you don't have it in your area, I think you could definitely do well. The other thing that we've learned in this whole process is it's not the field of dreams. You can't build it and they will come. You really have to build it, and then you have to go out and tell everybody about it a bunch.
Exactly.
You just get, you know, I've had friends that bought them and just didn't let them sit, and they just sit there.
Right.
You have to educate your patients, and you have to educate the doctors in your community that you're doing it and why it's important. And I really think you can grow it quick and pick up new customers and take care of those customers better than they worked being taken care of before, prior. But yeah, for us, it's all about taking care of the patients. If you take care of the patients, everything else takes care of the rest.
I like that saying. I believe in that it's really about the patient, because if we can over-serve and over-care from a perspective of just surrounding our patients with extra care, we're going to get a living out of it, and we're going to be able to feel fulfilled in that servant leader mentality that more and more people have to have, and we have to start thinking that way.
Right.
We have to stop thinking about profit and start thinking about care, but we also have to lean against our political leaders and our industry leaders to understand that if they crush us, financially, then our heart goes with that, because we can't care for our families and we can't keep growing and we can't give back to the community. So this is very cyclical. It's very symbiotic. But I'm so excited, Matthew, that you've adopted new processes, new technology. You're doing this for your community. I applaud you. This has not been an easy road, I'm sure.
Well, it hasn't been the easiest, but we have a great team, and they really adapted well and have done a really good job. And we're excited to grow. I mean, we're still new to this. We've got probably somewhere between 80 and 100 patients right now, and we have the goal of 500 patients. We want 500 patients on this. We think that's a doable goal.
That's awesome.
We think, you know, we think there's more patients that need our help than that, but we just, you know, that was our first goal we wanted to set. And we think with what the big companies are doing, we just think this is where the industry is going to be headed. And for us, it was just more important to be a leader in it than being a follower. So
a little marketing tip that I learned from a guy named Ken Sternfeld, who started something called the Concierge Pharmacist. It's this whole collaborative with physicians and pharmacists. It's a really cool program. But something that's a marketing strategy, which is kind of cool in itself because of its consultancy, is starting something within Massey Drugs areas of coverage, starting something called Pharmacy Fridays. And Pharmacy Fridays would be when you took a resident that you could to go to a physician's office every Friday and do nothing but free consultations with all their patients. And in turn, teaching them about medication non-adherence and how this resident, call him Dr. Todd, is now teaching them about this medication and flagging patients based on the records of who probably is candidate. And then what do you know, this is now a new patient source for Massey in caring for those patients.
I like that idea. I may try to steal that from you, Todd.
We'll steal it.
We're open to, I never have too many original ideas. I just try to steal good ones from other people. So
we'll do it. You can have it, and everybody listening can have it, because you know what? We're going to not only change healthcare, we're going to change the game in pharmacy, and you are going to be recognized, as you've always been, AKA a provider, and the knowledge that we're going to source is going to maximize the physician's capabilities, and it's going to free them up to do what they're supposed to be doing. And I see a new age coming that I'm excited to be a part of.
I am too. And one of my good mentors always said, practice at the highest level of your license. And that's what we're striving to do.
I've enjoyed this conversation with you, Matthew. I enjoy the fact that you've just opened up and you've really shared a lot with us. Massey Drugs, it's Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y, drugs.com. I like the website, by the way. It's sharp. And I encourage you listening, reach out and talk with Matthew. If you have used technology before that hasn't worked the way that you think it could work, reach out to that RxSafe team. Like I said, they've taken artificial intelligence into pharmacy technology in ways I've never seen before. And I've been a nerdy technologist since 2004 in pharmacy. So I am a know-it-some. I call myself a know-it-some, Matthew. I'm a know-it-some.
I like that. That's a good word. I like that.
All right. Thank you so much, Matthew. And thank you so much for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast. Please give us a rating. Go to iTunes, or I'm sorry, it's called Apple Podcasts now. And give us a rating. Tweet us, Facebook us, share us. This helps us grow in order to support our favorite healthcare provider, the pharmacist. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the RxSafe podcast series. Machine learning, intelligent technologies, and artificial intelligence is part of our global healthcare services future. Be sure to visit our website and schedule a time to talk with one of our pharmacy business consultants about the RxSafe technologies talked about on today's podcast episode. Visit us at rxsafe.com.